Brian Sotheby joins us. Hey, how hot is it in Anaheim right now, Suds?
It's hot. It's about 28, 29 degrees.
Oh, hey, welcome to Edmonton close, weather. Close it's about time you caught up.
Yeah, not bad, hey? You better be careful with this water here. Struds is probably going to jump you in a couple minutes.
Yeah, it's true. Like, that was like a phantom elbow, and now he'll suddenly want to.
When you're not looking, he'll just sneak up behind you and say, let's go, and have one off already.
See, 5 years ago, my reflexes were a lot faster, but ever since that hit,
You know what the best part was? So the water had already been on the ground for about 3 seconds before Struds was like, whoa. I was like, wow. Like, do you have any feeling in your legs over there? It's unreal.
I didn't know if I should interrupt the show, but there comes a point where the second glass hit me. That's when I said, okay, I got to say something. Jeez.
Now, I know, Suds, you feel with Struds, you've talked about it a lot, going back a junior definitely, you know, was a good thing. And every situation is different. You said in Washington, I think there was no guys under 26, so it wouldn't have been, they would have been babysitting you out at the bowl. You probably would have been staying at home when they went out to the bar because you weren't 21. You look at, I want to talk about the Anaheim Ducks. And I'm hearing that Sheldon Surrey is going to retire, that his wrist injuries just hasn't improved enough. And that maybe that was the reason why they went after Clayton Stoner. Because can you tell us why Stoner got $3.25 million?
Yeah, that's one contract that's a little interesting when you look at it. But there are some rumblings that might be the case with Surrey. And I think Stoner he's obviously not a Sheldon Surrey a few years ago, but maybe a guy that can bring a little bit of the same sort of element that Surrey did. I mean, for me, Surrey was always a guy that was a scary guy to play against, physical in front of the net, always had his stick out, ready to cross-check you, protect the goalie. Obviously, the other attributes, the booming shot and whatnot, but obviously, I think they want to replace that as best they can. And Stoner is a guy that's not really afraid to mix it up and be physical. And I think, like a lot of you, I mean, you're seeing San Jose go out and get John Scott. Why? I don't really know, but it just seems to be that it's a copycat league. When big teams win the cup, teams want to get bigger, teams want to get tougher. John Scott might be a little too far and a guy that's not ever going to see the playoffs, but I think that's part of it.
You know, you mentioned the copycat league. Do you think that they hope Stoner can become their Matt Green or their a bit of a poor man's Willie Mitchell?
Oh, for sure. I mean, when you look at LA and how they win, they have their stars. They have their guys that are going to lug the puck and create from the back end, and their guys up front as well. But it's a combination of size, being heavy, and having skill and playing a forechecking, strong, defensively sound game. And so having those depth guys can help. You know, Stoner's a guy for me, clearly overpaid. I'd think I'd still rather have a Clayton Stoner than a guy like Derek Englund in Calgary, who got $3 million. That's pretty much, you know, at best a six and probably more a seven as well. So, but that's what teams are trying to do. They're trying to emulate having a few of those bigger bodies on the back end. Play in the West. You got to be heavy. You got to be big. And you got to spend maybe a little bit more money in free agency. I mean, it's not really a surprise to see teams overspend on guys and maybe more so here that guys really are a bit of a surprise.
So that's how likely is it a guy like Englund or Stoner can go from an organization where they were basically, you know, the 5-6 guys or at times a forward, slide to another organization and maybe jump up to that 15 to 20 minute amount of ice time?
Well, I think in Englund's case, it's going to be tough. I mean, even on the Pens, he wasn't necessarily, I don't even know if you'd call him a five. I mean, late in the year, he was a guy that didn't seem to be playing much into the playoffs and whatnot. He's more of a 6-7 guy, and then you move him into the West. He's a stay-at-home guy. He's very tough. He knows his role. He knows how to take care and protect his teammates, and he'll go out there and do that. And I mean, if there's a team in the West that he should be on, it's a Brian Burke type team. But you know, I just think that going to the West, at least Stoner has an advantage. He's been in the West. The speed, the level of play to the game, the pace that it's at, I think it's going to be a big difference for a guy like Englund. I don't know really if either of those guys can jump up into a top four situation.
What about as far as looking at what the Calgary Flames has done? You know, you mentioned Englund already. We know he's a very tough guy. I always thought he's very tough. But they have Bolig, they have McGrattan. I'm missing somebody else they brought in. If you're the Edmonton Oilers, you just signed Luke Gadzik. You're a player in that dressing room. You're thinking, man, we go play Calgary. They can be dressed in three or four, pretty tough guys against us.
Yeah, well, you know how it is. I mean, when you're a guy that is sitting in that room, and especially if you're a guy like a Matt Hendricks or, guys that are sort of middle of the road, and you're seeing all these guys you have to match up against and go play against every night, it is going to alter the way you play, whether people think about it or not. You're not going to necessarily be as aggressive, or maybe you might take a liberty on Monahan or one of their more skilled players if those guys weren't in the lineup, give them an extra little shot going to the bench, a little rougher time in front of the net, and you might think twice when those guys are in the lineup, and that's why Brian Burke feels that that's such an important part of the team. And I don't know in this day and age if you need to have three heavyweights, but I do think you need to have a nice mix of grit and toughness in your lineup that can make your players feel comfortable, make your guys feel like they can go out and play bigger. I don't think anyone on the Calgary Flames right now is worried about how hard they play. And last year, that was the thing that everyone said about the Calgary Flames as well. They're losing, but they're in games, and they play so hard. And a lot of that, I think, is because they have the confidence to go out and forecheck and hit everyone. Every single guy on their team feels like they can play a little bit bigger because they have those guys to do it. And the Oilers, they have a few guys, but they're not the Calgary Flames.
Brian Sutherby joins Gregor and Strudwick. And that's really, I know Strud's talked about it. But his only concern really is that on the Oilers' back end, there's no one with any sort of nastiness. Like Ferentz would be their grittiest guy, right, on the back end. For a team that's, I don't think the Oilers are a playoff team right now. I know they might not like to hear that, and that's fine. It's only my opinion. But as they move forward, you look at teams like, and when I say gritty, it doesn't mean guys who are just, soup cans, who are physical. Like Duncan Keith and Seabrook in Chicago, man, they're not afraid to hit anybody. Duncan Keith will get 5-game suspension. Elvia, cross check you. Drew Doughty, not afraid to line up guys with big open ice hits. You need some guys who have Fane's not a big hitter. Schultz isn't. Petrie isn't. Nikita Keaton really isn't. That's something that eventually, like Darnell Nurse maybe in the future, but they likely need more of that type of thing. As a forward, how much of a, how different does that make the game when you know the other team has one, maybe two guys who possess that in their top six defense?
Well, I completely agree. I think that that's an area, we talked about it last year, and they haven't necessarily addressed it. They need a little bit of nastiness. They need to make it harder on teams to come out of the corner with the puck, to get to the front of the net when the puck's at the point. And it hurts. Like when you're going to the front of the net, and I talked about Sheldon Surrey a little bit earlier, if you're taking a Sheldon Surrey cross check in the forearm, just above the elbow pad, below the shoulder pad, if you're taking it in the kidneys, it hurts. Like you have to want to pay the price to get to the front of the net. And if it's an easy time to get there, you're not going to win a lot of hockey games if you're just allowing teams to walk to the front of the net. And the best teams are able to box out. They're able to limit scoring chances, and they make it really difficult on teams to get to the front of the net. So I think, bringing in Nurse eventually down the road, he's a guy that has that nastiness, and it'd be nice if they could bring that on board somehow still. One thing I do like that they have done is they have gotten bigger. So these guys don't necessarily possess maybe that chippiness or that real nastiness, but I still think even just having that added size of leaning on someone in the corner in a cycle, that's going to help. I think today they're definitely a better team than they were at the end of last season.
Yeah, you talk about when Sheldon Surrey used to, slash or whatever, or Chris Pronger, whoever. There's a lot of demon that did it before. He's not reinventing the wheel. Yeah, I used to do it by be chasing you from behind. Were you more, or was it less likely that a forward is going to come to the same area as fast, knowing that he's probably going to get a piece of the lumber across his body somewhere?
No. I mean, you're like I said, it hurts, and especially depending on where you get it or who you're matching up against. I mean, you can see a lot of people maybe think the game happens super fast out there, but when you're actually in the moment, it seems like it's a lot slower. It seems almost slow motion at times, and you see who you're going at. I can tell if Sheldon Surrey is standing there with his stick out, or you, or someone that's more of a mean player versus attacking a guy that's just kind of got his stick on the ice and not necessarily knowing to give guys a hard time in front of the net. And I know if a guy's the type of player that he is, if he's going to disregard my stick and just start laying the boots to me, or he's going to just try to lift my stick.
Yeah.
I mean, you know all that as a forward. And, you know, unfortunately for the Oilers, they don't necessarily have guys that do that yet. But like I said, I think they're still a better team today, bringing some established NHL guys. They're bigger bodies, so I think they're going to be harder to move. And they may not cross-check you to death or punish you in front of the net, but hopefully they're bigger and stronger and they can box out a little more.
Brian Sutherby joins us from Anaheim. Hey, do you have been to any Angels games yet?
I'm going on Tuesday. The Jays are in town.
Oh, nice.
Tuesday night. So.
Do you wear a Jays hat when you go?
No. Maybe I should, though. I don't own a Jays hat, but I'll be pulling for the Jays.
So who do you cheer for? You're all of a sudden, now you're living down there, you're a big Angels fan? Is that how it works, or what?
Well, I go back and forth. When the Jays aren't in town, then I'll be an Angels fan. Okay. And then, obviously, when the Jays come to town, I'll represent Canada and the Jays, of course.
But you got to go see Kershaw, though, for the Dodgers.
I know. I do want to get down to a game. I have been to an Angels game before. I haven't been down here recently, but it's a cool stadium. And I've never been to Dodger Stadium, and I really want to get there.
Well, we're coming down in August, so you better plan to get some tickets for us before then.
Love it. Let's do it.
All right, man. Have yourself a good weekend.
All right, fellas. You too. Thanks.